turn in your Bibles, Proverbs 20. I'm going to double check I get the right. Proverbs 23. Good summer. You had a good summer? I wonder what that is, actually, a good summer. I don't know. We are people of the Spirit, so the weather, the season, the time in our life, we're always looking for and enjoying our peace that comes from God and our relationship with God. This morning I want to speak about humility and pride, and maybe in the course of the message we'll have those Selah moments. You know what a Selah moment is? Yeah. You don't know? This word, Selah. Have you ever seen that in the Psalms? You know, this psalm is written and then it says Selah. And what does it mean? Meditate, pause, chew it, rest there, think about it. And I realized the other day that in preaching, that happens. Like something is said, and we should stop there and think about it. Because God said something to our hearts. And so I ask you sometimes to talk to your neighbor, or we just sit there for a minute and realize what was said. The world is, let's look at the Proverb 23 and verse 1. When you sit to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before you. So here we have pride. When you sit to eat with a ruler, have you ever done it? Have you ever sat with a ruler? Give me the name. Give me not the name, but the profile of a ruler. Give me the position of a ruler. What? Governor. Okay. President of a university. A general. Okay. A teacher. Head of a hospital. Head of a country. President, prime minister, when you sit with a ruler, it's a privilege. You have been given a privilege. Pride is all over us. It's in the world. Pride is our very nature. It's our world about us. The world of me. How much we can look at life through my self-interest, my life, my rights, my privileges, my benefits, my profile, my degrees, my money, my looks, my appearance, what people say about me, my reputation. Life is so filled with us. And so here it says, verse 1, when you sit with a ruler, consider diligently what is before you. You have to have a mind when you sit with a ruler and know who you are, what you want and what you don't want. Because the ruler has influence over you. The ruler has power, has maybe what you want. He has the ability to make your life or destroy your life, maybe. Hire you or fire you. So one of the greatest things, by the way, this was not a virtue in the ancient world. Humility was not a virtue in the ancient world. It was weakness. And the gods and goddesses of the ancient world in pagan Rome and Greece were proud gods, powerful gods, gods of war and peace and love. They were gods, but they were not humble. Humility was not a virtue. They were idle generally and leisurely looking for pleasure, something like people. We are leisurely looking for pleasure, and so the gods are like that. But this changed with Christ coming into the world. When Christ came into the world, something changed. And when people believed in Christ and the Spirit of Christ came in us, we found something we did not have, which is humility. God is first. By the way, there's a love connected with pride, a human love, and it's a love that's a bit twisted. It's not a high-quality love. When a man is proud, then he's actually loving himself, and he's loving what is happening in his life, and this is a twisted love. But God's love is deeper. And we read it in 1 Corinthians 13 with this word agape. Very important word for us. God is love. God is humble. God is not first, though he's first. But because he is God, he is also able to be low. In the ancient literature, when there's a use of this word for humility with the Nile River, when the Nile River was low in its level, they said it was humble, that the river was humble, or the river was running low. The idea of being low is a good way of thinking about this, but it's not low in regards to things and people. It's low in regards to God and his rights, his plan, his nature. Like Jesus doing the Father's will, like your will is more important than mine. And the word actually humble in the words of Augustine is connected with the word obedience. When somebody is humble, they are obedient. Even if it hurts, I am obedient because I am submitted to him and his will. We cannot see it more clearly than with Christ going to the cross. If we'd use this verse, thanks for keeping it up. When you sit to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before you. Let's put in here Pontius Pilate and Jesus Christ. Jesus, when you meet Pontius Pilate, consider diligently what is before you. It doesn't fit exactly because it's really about food. Like when you sit to eat with a ruler, consider actually the whole picture of what it is and the banquet table of food, and don't be bought by the food. Put a knife to your throat, it says. Yeah, deny myself because that ruler can take you out. That ruler can compromise your life. Okay, so go back to the verse. Maybe it'll get clear here? I think so. Verse 2, put a knife to your throat. If you be a man given to appetite. We have appetites. Appetite for pride. I don't know Tom Brady. He's the quarterback for the New England Patriots. Phenomenal quarterback and football player. And all the trophies and the titles and everything. If he became proud, I don't know that he is. That's not my point. That's not my business, whatever. But whenever somebody does succeed, we can easily internalize that and become proud about it. And we have an appetite for the pride. We have an appetite for our self-life. Of course we do. But there's something that the average person doesn't know, and it is that God has great regard for the humble. He has great regard for people that are willing to say, not me, not the table set before me here, not all the food, not the fame, not the success, but I'm actually submitted to God, who is higher than all of it, and my delight and my joy is living with Him. I'm actually denying myself and finding humility or obedience to God. That's what I want. Go to the previous verse, please. It says, consider diligently. Long before I sit at the table, I want to think about it. Long before I sit there, I want to know what I'm looking for. And that ruler cannot buy me. That he cannot have a big banquet. He cannot talk me in and out of things. He cannot buy me. He cannot buy my soul, my interests. He just cannot do that, because we've been sitting at another table. We have been receiving something from another one, another ruler. We have found God. Jesus is with the Father. And this is the same with you and me. We have found God. We have been born again, and we found the Spirit of God teaching us love, a new kind of love, God's love. And with that love, we find obedience and submission to God and His will. Look at the next one. Is it verse... 3. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. The dainties, special meat and special sauces and special morsels, delicious foods, very, very special table. Don't be desirous of them. They are deceitful. If I gain the world, what does it profit me if I lose my soul? One day, everything is gone. And what remains is you and I in Christ, with the knowledge of God. Yeah. Pride is everywhere. It's in the cafeteria where you work, lunch table. It's in the business world. Politics is filled with it. Pride. University campuses, everyday living, churches filled with pride. Us filled with pride. It's amazing how pride grows and how pride multiplies and how pride works in life. But here's the message of our New Testament. God is humble. God can be nobody. God can come here as a servant, and in a crowd, you couldn't recognize who is God. Jesus is there in the group. You cannot tell by looking. Who is Jesus? When they betrayed him, remember, arrested him in Gethsemane, they needed somebody to kiss him to make sure it was the right man. That's how unassuming and common he looked, and he was by sight. That's how humble God blends in and does his work. And I'd like to say slowly, like under the radar, but look out. It's real and powerful. And God honors it. God honors the humble. God takes notice. He knows. That woman who gave the two mites, you know, their last little two coin bits of coin, and she gave, I saw that. You know, that person nobody notices, I notice them. I know them. I know what's there. Guys, I know what human. I want to say, I believe there is real humility in the lives of believers, that we have the Spirit of God, and he is humble, and he dwells in us, and we can kind of feel it as we grow and walk in faith. But it is different from in the world. Because the world, Augustine said, and I have it written here, there's a quotation from him about this. Niccolo Machiavelli, maybe you know the philosopher Machiavelli, Machiavellianism, writing a millennium after Augustine, concluded that Aristotle and Augustine were both wrong. The ancient pagans held a pie-in-the-sky view of politics, where virtue was the goal and honor was the reward. This view Machiavelli held neglected the fact that most human beings are not morally upright. They are moved by power, not virtue. That phrase, people are moved by power, you know, it's true. Power, they look for being noticed, being rich, being famous, being successful, many having influence in their neighborhood, having power. It's like a thing about people. People want power. And of course, some want it so badly they will kill for it. They will steal for it. They will cheat and lie in order to get power and influence. Okay? We should know this. But God says, there's another thing I'll show you. It's not power. It's different. It's love. It's humility. This will give you something. I, God, will give you. I will give to you. I will give you riches and honor and power. Proverbs 22, verse 4, to the humble. But the funny thing is, you know, if I have money and I have power, it's like immediate. But when I have humility, where's my power? It's not necessarily immediate. I have humility and I die on the cross, like here, humble as a sacrifice. Where's the power? You don't see it, but it's coming. The honor coming to Christ is coming in 3 days. It's coming. And it's great power. But the power is coming because of obedience. And the obedience is there because of humility. I don't have a place to live. The foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests. But I don't have a place to lay my head. Not even in the dumpster downtown. That's all I got. And the Father is pleased with the Son. He's obedient. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. I'm rejected. People are throwing me away. I'm like somebody they don't want to associate with. But I can do that, Father, if that's your will. I'm submitted to you. This isn't about me. This is about you, Lord. Your will. And the Father is pleased with the Son. The humility is the absence of the man's life, interest, ego, protection, preservation, defense. The man is not defending himself. He's a sacrifice. It's not, it's something different happening. And this is a huge lesson for us because it's not easy. But it happens to you. It happens in your heart. It may not be easy. You may not be known in this world, but you are known in heaven. You may not be known in a public way, in a big way somehow, but that's not your focus. Just like the proverb is saying in the previous one, verse 1. When you sit to eat with the ruler, what is your focus? What is your focus? It's not the food on the table. I have a different focus. I want God's will. I want God's will. Go to verse 7 of the same chapter. Go down a number of verses. Verse 7. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. And the ruler says, eat and drink. And he says, I'm with you. But his heart is not with you. He just wants something from you. Have you ever been with those kind of people? I'm going to help you out. I'm going to do this. This is what I want from you. It's like buying and selling human beings. Like, I want you with me, so I'll pay you to be with me. But his heart is not with you. He doesn't have your back. He's not really caring about you. He's caring about himself. That's what pride does. Pride is all about myself, you know. But humility is about God. And it's very, very sacred thing to have a heart after God. If you have a heart after God, and you do, but if you live in it and walk in it, it's a very sacred thing. You're not like other people. You are different. What does it mean? Let me read this from Andrew Murray. He says, humility is perfect quietness of heart. It is to expect nothing, to wonder at nothing that is done to me, to feel nothing done against me. It is to be at rest when nobody praises me, when I am blamed or despised. It is to have a blessed home in the Lord where I can go in and shut the door and kneel to my Father in secret and am at peace as in a deep sea of calmness when all around and above is trouble. Psalm 59, David said, when Saul sent an army to go kill David at his home, His wife was Michael, and she put an idol in the in the bed, and there was a bump like David was there sleeping. He is tired or sick. She said he's sick, and so there was a pause. He is sick, but the soldiers were around, and David heard them like dogs wanting to devour him, and they hated him, and they were after him because they were sent by King Saul to destroy him. And David wrote this Psalm 59 in that context, and he said, "They crouch at the door like an animal, a predator, wanting to get the prey." And he said, I am in the same way, not after them, but I am before God. I'm crouching before God, and God will protect me. And they're crouching like a wild animal out here to devour me. But let them do so. They are what they are, and God will deal with them. But as for me, I have found this quietness and this peace. And he uses the word humility in there as well in that psalm, maybe verse 10. It's beautiful. Men want power. God wants humility. When you find humility, then this is what you find. Verse, let me read this to you. Though the Lord be high, yet has he respect unto the lowly. The Lord lifts up the meek. He will beautify the meek with salvation. The wise in heart will receive commandments. With the lowly is wisdom. He that hearkens unto counsel is wise. Before honor is humility. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Can you feel that in your heart? I can, I think. I'd rather be with the lowly and the humble with very little than to be with the proud with a lot. Because when I have a lot with the proud, I don't know really what I have. But when I have something with the lowly, I can be sure about it. This is us. This is ours. Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The world will crucify, and the Roman Empire is powerful. But don't worry about it. This is greater than the Roman Empire. This is God. And God is with the lowly. And God will speak through the humble. God will minister to you through the humility. God will teach you in your trials. God will teach you how you can live and walk in humility with God. And he fill you with secret manna or hidden manna, and build you up in your inner man. And you'll say, praise God. Wow, God, I don't know by this standard what is going on, but I know by this one there is a secret place with the Lord Almighty. And Psalm 91 and verse 1. Honor shall uphold the humble spirit. Proverbs 29:23. Honor the humble, receive honor. Maybe the honor when God meets you on the back road. Remember the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, 7 miles away from Jerusalem, and Jesus honored them by visiting them. They were honored by God. If you have peace in your heart, peace in your home, it may be because God is honoring you. If you find something precious in the Bible that speaks to you, it may be that God is honoring you. A couple of weeks ago, we had prayer for the prodigal sons and prodigals to come home. I've heard a number of reports about people saying, thanks for that prayer. Good things are happening. God is answering the prayer for prodigal sons and daughters to come back. And I'm saying, God honors us. He does. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters, nor in things too high for me. I wonder what that is, things that are too high for me. Sometimes people share with me a problem, and I say, I don't know. And in my heart, I'm saying, it's too high for me. I don't know that. I don't know what that will mean. I don't know how that goes. I love being part of people's lives and the Lord as much as possible, but I don't pretend to know if I don't know. I don't know. We can pray for you and pray, and maybe God will give you an answer. But there are things too high for me. There are some problems. You know that phrase, above my pay grade, right? There are some problems above our pay grade. There are some things I don't know. And my heart isn't haughty and put myself in a place of like some place where I can be somebody's solution. I may not be. I am not. I am not able. But on the other hand, if we learn humility, don't you think that God can help us in many areas of life? I said this morning, the hardest thing I've ever done in my life is raise a family. I think it's the biggest challenge, filled with problems, filled with questions, raising a family, keeping my marriage. I mean, this is a big deal in the world we live in. To keep my marriage and to have my marriage and to raise kids from 0 to 20 years of age, and all the responsibility and all the money, and how many people quit and they get out of it and they abandon or they leave or they depart, they can't handle it. And I say, I understand, but I didn't do that by God's grace. But I learned here in the church by the Spirit of God that if we can walk with God, then we have a good chance of succeeding in some measure, in some way. So here it says, we don't want to be exercised in a thing too great. We got plenty to care about as it is. But I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. I have learned to settle into that low status. Paul said, I have learned to be abased, that's the low status, and to abound. And it means financially, the context is financially, I have been a wealthy man. I think he was at one time wealthy. And then he was not wealthy, but he was poor. And he said, I have learned wherever state I'm in, I can find contentment. Wow. How? Well, aren't the true riches when we obey God? Let's get the big, big points covered. I am a believer. I want to trust in God no matter what. Trust in Him with all my heart and not lean on my own understanding. Number two, I need godly counsel. I need not the way of the world or the advice of the world. I need the advice that comes from God through a humble heart. And the greatest thing we can do is to sit and tremble at his word. This man I will regard, Isaiah 66, verse 2. He that fears me and trembles at my word. High regard for this book. So we pay attention and we are sitting with the Spirit of God and we're saying to God in the Spirit of God, I'm available, Lord. I'm available. I'm a servant. I'm just a servant. And Jesus takes a towel, girds himself with the towel. So it's something like this. He's at the Last Supper and he takes a towel and he girds himself and he goes and he washes. He gets down and he washes the feet of the disciples. And he said, do you see what I do? Do you see what I do? You may not understand now, but later Peter wrote this part. He said, be clothed with humility in 1 Peter chapter 5. Be clothed with humility. And you know, when you're washing feet, you're not talking necessarily. It's not words, it's action, it's attitude. What can I do to help you? What can I do for you? It's humble. It's humble. It's about him or you. You know, that's beautiful. And he said, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Doing them, wow. Like doing it. So, how does it work? It's I am born again. I have it. We have this capacity. I'm listening as a worshiper. I'm receiving, and then I'm acting on what I hear. I want to take what I hear, and I want to practice it and be patient. I want to take what I hear and take it home with me. I want to apply it in my life. Almost all the time after preaching, within a couple of days, I'm kind of tested on the very things that I preached about. I go, wow, if I could only apply my message, like that's what's needed. I know exactly what I need right now. I'm being tested on what I preached about. That's like awesome. And do I hit the target? Maybe not. But at least it helps me know, like, I believe God has a mind on this issue. And that helps us. And here's the last thing about it. It says in this portion, I like this. It says, I'm like a child weaned of his mother. Meaning, you know, when a child is breastfed and the child grows big enough so that he can eat solid food and you put him down and he wants to be breastfed and you say, no, here's your food. It's coming in 10 minutes. So he's crying for 10 minutes. And then you bring the solid food to him or more solid food, whatever it is, baby food. And and then you're in the kitchen. He's crying. You say, quiet down. Your food is coming. It's ready in 5 minutes. Quiet down. Behave. Or how about this? 1 hour later, you're going to eat in an hour. It's like, what? An hour? Okay. A Christian is like that. Like sometimes we just wanted now. But the psalmist said, I have become like a child who had to like grow up and realize that I can't have it right now, my way. I'm going to get it a different way. I'm going to be submitted. I'm going to abide. I'm going to show up. I'm going to go to the church. I don't know how it's all going to work out. I'm going to hear. I'm going to have prayer in the morning in my life. I'm going to start to develop a prayer life morning and afternoon and evenings in my life in a relaxed way. But I'm going to seek God and look for God and obey God. As we do, humility is connected with obedience. As we are obeying God, we find the blessing and the honor from God that comes to our life. Bring everything before God. Don't just do things. Be submitted and humble before God. Don't just make your own decisions about things. And this is like a form of pride. My life, my way, I'm going to do this. It's my choice. It's my decision. I'm going to do it this way. It's like, no, it isn't. Be submitted to God. I say in wisdom before God, not my way, Lord. Help me, teach me, show me. I am submitted unto you. I want your advice. I want your counsel. I want your guidance. And if this is not right, then show me the right way. And he is our Heavenly Father, and he will. Humility, the last thing to say about it, I think it would be a great conversation stopper. You're talking with a bunch of people, and it's all about politics or something. You're talking to people, and you say, I got one word. What? Humility. They look at you two times. Everybody stops talking. What does that word mean? Actually, that happened. Somebody shared with me where they're working. They just said humility. They said, what does that word mean? Humility. Wow. That is not popular. It's not often talked about. Pride is success, money, power, influence. How can I get ahead as success and all these beautiful things, you know, the whole thing about life, humility. And I think it could add to a lot of conversations. And I don't know how you proceed from there. God will show you. But I would say, I went to church, and I heard about humility, and I'm hungry for the subject. I want to learn about humility. I believe it's the answer for my life. I don't know how exactly. I don't know what it means exactly, but I want to adopt that as the way of life for me. I'm looking into it. I want to learn about it because Jesus Christ was humble. He was humble. The way he talked, the way he lived, and the way he died, he was humble. And he said, be follower of me. And as we follow him, we may find that humility that comes from God. And we just say, don't worry about it. I'm not worried. Don't worry about it. I'm not a victim. It's okay. God's taking care of me. I found something. Jesus is with me. Yeah, I couldn't be a victim, but it's not. The whole thing about that, the victim mentality is so popular in our world. Change it. Say, hey, I've been born again. I found something. I got something working. I got something in my life that's satisfying. I got something that'll last forever. I've got the message. I got the person of God. I found a new way. I found humility as a way of life. I found something the world doesn't know about, but we got it. And they're hungry for what we have. Because what we have will not pass away. It has real content and influence. And when I sit with a ruler, I'm not tempted by his dainties. Because we have found another treasure, another resource, another way of life. We've found truth that delivers us from our sin and gives us a new way of thinking and a new way of living. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? We're hungry, Lord, for this. You were raised from the dead. It's shocking. It and you show us inside Philippians chapter 2, he humbled himself to the death of the cross. And there will be a day when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Christ. We need to realize this thing is huge. It's a lot bigger than what I just said these last 30 minutes. It's huge. It's amazing. You could hear about it all the time. Help us, Lord, and lead us in it. And show us what it is in your name. If anyone here is not a believer, come to Jesus today. You need him. You need him. Oh, how forcefully that could be said. You need him. You need him more than you realize. You need him more than your next breath. You need Christ. You need the forgiveness of your sin. You need to be born of the Spirit. You need Christ. You need God in your life. You need God, the living God. Not a God you make up like the old man in the sky or some other God of some kind. No, the living God, the wise God, the only true and wise God. You need Christ. Come to Jesus today. Say, Jesus, I believe in you. Please say that. Jesus, I believe in you. Please say that in your heart to him. You are born again if you say that prayer in your heart to God. You're born of the Spirit. Walk by faith in him. You will know. God will show you. You'll know. You'll have peace. You have joy and love. God will give you wisdom. You'll know. You are a child of God. Father, thank you for these thoughts in Jesus' name. Amen.